Hello and welcome everybody to this meditation session. As usual, I have to make the announcement that we're starting the series of four talks on the introduction to meditation. So those people who haven't meditated before, those introductory classes are held in the room to my right. If you go to the reception area, it's a room you pass just on this side of the hall. So those who haven't meditated before, if you could please make your way to the room to my right over there, where the introductory course is being held. This hall here is for those who've meditated before, who can sit meditation for about 40 to 45 minutes. And in this class we all obviously do a longer sitting, and at the beginning I give more instructions, usually a different part of the process of meditation every week. And the part of meditation I wanted to talk about today is the idea of the mindfulness of being a supervisor, that you have the instructions on how to meditate, but it also needs the establishment of this faculty of mind, or facility of mind, called the supervisor, like a guard. Something which is constantly looking over to see what you're doing and checking out that what you're doing is correct. The simile of a supervisor, or the metaphor of a supervisor, is a very apt one, simply because a supervisor doesn't do the work themselves. They just make sure that the other people are doing the work according to the instructions. So the supervisor just watches. And if things are going a little bit out of hand, off the path, he just gently nudges the workers back onto the path again. I know that sometimes, if I'm an abbot, sometimes all you need to do is have a cough to look at people in a strange way, and they realize they're doing something wrong if they're monks, and they get back on track again. So sometimes, often you don't need to wield a big heavy stick, all you need to do is to know that you're not practicing according to the instructions, and that is usually enough to bring the mind back into line. And if you don't have a supervisor doing your meditation, if there's not something which is always watching over and seeing that you are following the course, it's just too easy to drift off. It's similar to somebody driving down the freeway and you go to sleep at the wheel. Obviously, if you lose your mindfulness when you're driving, you veer out of your lane, maybe into the ditch or into a car coming in the opposite direction. It can be fatal. In meditation, it's not so dangerous, but it's just like a waste of time. When you wander off into thinking about fantasies, dreams, past or future, working out your problems, it's all very well, but this is not the time to do that. This is the time to sort of focus on going inwards rather than outwards. So, I do spend a lot of time giving instructions, so you know what you're supposed to be doing, and to clarify that path of how meditation works from stage to stage. And many of you have heard me many, many times talk about present moment awareness, silence, being aware of the breath, being fully aware of the breath, the beautiful breath, nimitta, and so on. But that is sometimes a waste of time unless you're really on the task, keeping your eye on the ball and watching the mind as it proceeds through those steps. So you have to have the knowledge first of all, you have to have the map, the instructions, and the next thing you need is a supervisor to be able to watch and see what you are doing. When I give a guided meditation, sometimes I am almost like a surrogate supervisor by interrupting the meditation with my words, pieces of advice, which just keeps you on track, which is one of the reasons why that people enjoy, especially when they begin meditating, some guided meditation. It just performs the role of a supervisor. But eventually you have to learn how to encourage or establish that supervisor in your own mind, so that when you are meditating, you see what you're doing, you're always on the ball there, watching what's happening, and if the mind starts to go off, it sort of starts to bring the mind back again. So if you're doing the present moment awareness, all the supervisor needs to do is to know what the task is, just being in the present. And every time you start to see yourself wandering off into the future, or just lingering on the past, the supervisor says, stop it. And because of that, the mind just goes straight back onto the present moment. in the stage of the silence, you start making notes, starting commentaries, and starting the internal conversation, and something inside of you says, no, stop, shh, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. And that way you can maintain the silence. I know there is, in the way I teach meditation, sometimes people wonder, how long should they spend in present moment awareness, how long in silence, before they go on to the breath. It really depends on how much meditation you're doing. The best is to spend a long time on those foundations. But if one is only doing, say, one meditation a day, sometimes it is better to do a few minutes of present moment awareness, a few minutes of silence, and then go on to the breath. And the reason why I keep stressing those first two stages, present moment awareness and silence, it gives the basic mindfulness, the basic ability to be attentive. You can only really be attentive to what's happening now in the silence. You're not talking back at the world, you're actually paying attention to it. And by doing such things, that you are more likely to have a better chance when you start watching the breath. In all the years I've taught meditation, I found that sometimes people go onto the breath far too quickly, and because they go onto the breath too early, they can't really hold it. They haven't got sufficient grounding in mindfulness. So it's a few minutes, if you're just doing one meditation a day, maybe 10 minutes or so, or 5 minutes if you're not meditating that long, on present moment awareness and silence, and then go on to the breath and see how you go. You can always emphasize the presence and the silence as you're watching the breath as a way of deepening the breath awareness. But the main point of this preamble today is to make sure you know what you're doing at all moments of the meditation. In my tradition, we used to call this satipanya, or sometimes satisampajanya. You're mindful, in other words, the supervisor is there, and also you know what the instructions are. So the supervisor is well instructed and is very alert. So whenever the workers stop doing their job properly, supervisor's on top of them straight away to bring them back into line. You're watching the breath, you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing, and the supervisor is just looking on. Not like some big brother dictator who you're afraid of, but that's somebody who's helped you value. So you value the supervisor, because it brings you in to deeper and more peaceful, more happy states of meditation. So at the start of this meditation, please establish that supervisor strongly inside of you. After a while, you get used to what this word supervisor means. Something inside of you who's always looking, making sure that what you're doing is on track. Same as when you start to learn how to drive a car, or play some sport, or play a musical instrument. The supervisor is part of the mind's repertoire. Just need to turn it on, encourage it, and it's there for you. Okay, now before we actually start, are there any questions you'd like to ask on the meditation? Okay, let's get down to it then. So if you have been sitting here for a while, because I came in a bit late, you can actually get up and move and twirl your legs around or whatever else you want to do just to get yourself nice and comfortable, because we're going to sit meditation in roughly 45 minutes. So close the eyes. With your eyes closed, bring your awareness to your body. As we bring our attention away from the world outside, into the body in which we're sitting. giving yourself time to come to a sensitive awareness of your physical feelings. Anything you can do for your body, adjusting this leg or that hand or that finger, stretching the back, whatever is needed, please do so. Being careful and spending a few moments with your body at the beginning helps you with a posture which you can maintain with ease for the duration of the meditation. and start to bring awareness onto the present moment. Just now, as you deliberately abandon all past, and you're not concerned with the future, but you're watching life as it happens, in the present. And imagine a supervisor, someone watching over this mind, to make sure it remains in the present moment, and catches the mind every time it tries to linger on the past or run to the future. Imagine the supervisor until it's there. keeping the supervisor alert. What are you doing now? Are you in the present moment, or have you wandered off? If it's time, you can start focusing in the silence. You'll find the silence when you perfect the present moment. Silence lies right in the center of now. What are you aware of now? What can the supervisor see? Maybe it's a time just to be aware of the breath. Knowing the experience of breath as it goes in. Knowing the feeling of breath as it goes out. And keep the supervisor on the job.
Excellent.
coming to the end of the meditation now. It's time to ask yourself how you feel inside. How far has this meditation come today? And did the establishment of a supervisor help you? Each week we just add more skillful means to the armory or to the tool shed of our meditation. We see how they work by reflecting at the end of every meditation how we feel, how much peace, how much contentment, how much happiness we have. This way we learn about meditation, by listening, by practice, and by reviewing what happened. Oh, now ring the gong 3 times. When the last resonance from the gong disappears, is the time to come out from your meditation. Very good. So that was a bit of meditation emphasizing the supervisor, and hopefully that you managed to understand what I mean. In all the practice of meditation, by repeated practice, repeated experience, we get a feeling for these words. Every word is just a label, but the label is pointing to a meaning. And the meaning of the supervisor is that which superintends, that which overlooks, that which you can actually see what's going on. Not a controller, but just an observer. When the observer is there is more ability to direct the meditation into peaceful and beautiful states. And one of the things I never mentioned is as the meditation does get deeper, as you become more successful, just the more alert and the more skillful that supervisor becomes. In the beginning, the supervisor might need to do things, might need to be a bit more interventionist. But the more the meditation becomes peaceful, the more the supervisor literally just looks on, looking on just carefully, and just that is usually enough just to make sure the mind goes in the right direction. As many of you might have experienced in your meditation practice over the years, when that supervisor isn't watching, it's just like when the cat's away, the mice will play type of mind. The mind will go all over the place. When the supervisor is there, sometimes it's as if that the workers, they know someone is watching, so they have to behave themselves. When no one is watching, then they can do whatever they like. So just having somebody watching there is sometimes is very helpful. But also when he establishes a supervisor, then also that extends into your daily life. There's just someone watching over you, not someone outside yourself, but just this part of your mind called the supervisor, the knower, which can actually observe just how you behave and what you do in life. And sometimes if you have some bad habits, and like a smoking or getting angry at people, or just getting upset in the traffic, whatever those bad habits are, the supervisor, once it's established, can see just what you're about to do and just stop yourself doing it before it's too late. Because the supervisor is what can break bad habits. The only reason we have bad habits is we know they're bad, but we just can't stop ourselves. We don't catch ourselves in time. But when we have a supervisor, we can catch things early. you have a big tree, it's so hard to cut down. But when it's a small sapling or a little shoot, even a child can pull it up with their fingers. When it's too late, it's just too hard. When a train is leaving a station, if it's just started to leave the station, the driver can pull on the brakes and stop very quickly. But when it's hurtling down along the tracks, it's so hard to stop. A lot of time, bad habits, if you can catch them quickly, are so easy to stop. But to catch them quickly, we do need the supervisor. The mind which is looking on sees what's happening, and that gives it the opportunity, the space, to take a different course. Supervisor, one of the most important aspects of mindfulness. So having said a few words about that, has anyone got any comments about establishing the supervisor in your meditation? Yes, John. When the time of death. Have you got any plans for this afternoon, John? At the time of death, what type of meditation objects you should take up? Now that really depends on what's happening at death. So have a few on hand, just in case. Obviously one of the best meditations is the letting go meditation. Because you're having to let go of your body anyway. So just let go, let go, let go, let go, let go. Present moment awareness. Don't worry about the future, the past in this moment. Silence. Shh. If you just do some letting go, you may be, well, you will see the nimitta there. Because that's what happens when the five senses disappear. If you're afraid, do some sort of loving kindness meditation. So if you're in pain, just make peace with the pain. So if you're a meditator, you don't really have to think of all your good karma from the past, which is a usual advice for Buddhists who are dying. If you're meditating, you can go much better than that. Instead of aiming for a heaven realm, aim for some sort of enlightenment. Or at least the jhana realms. So your understanding, you're not in control of your body or your senses. So completely let go. In the moment, silent, and give up your will. Be still. So that's the best one. And you've been meditating a long time, John, you can be able to do that. Let go. Let go to the max. Anyone else got any other questions? Going, going, gone. Okay. On these Saturday afternoon meditations, if you do have any questions which arise during the week about meditation, if you don't feel comfortable about asking it in public, and people usually are quite averse to speaking out in public, you can always write it on a piece of paper. I just leave it by either myself or Sister Ajahn Wayama or anyone else's seat here. Because sometimes there are questions which you have about meditation. And there may be questions some of your friends ask you about meditation, which are really interesting. So if you don't feel like asking them in public, please just write them on a bit of paper and just leave them by the seat here. We'll answer them after the meditation session on the Saturday afternoon. And it's usually more helpful for others, for you actually to ask your question. Because what I find is that after the session finishes, then everyone comes up and asks their own questions. And it's a shame it's not shared with others, because you get some really, really good personal questions, which would be wonderful when they ask this question, I can answer it, or whoever else is a teacher here can answer it, and everyone can listen to the answers, which is very helpful. So if you have any questions, personal questions, which you think other people might like to enjoy hearing the answers to, write it on a piece of paper, leave it by the seat, and that way everyone can enjoy it. Okay, so let's now pay respects to the Buddha if you wish to, and then we can go and have a cup of tea.